How is it possible for the Bible to make such accurate predictions? Well, Skip Heitzig says we need to understand one key attribute of God.
So God knows the past and the present, but he also knows the future. And this is important because it's the basis of all predictive prophecy. You know, sometimes we go through the Bible and go, I'm amazed. There's so many prophecies given where God, through a prophet, predicts an event that will happen 100, 200, 1,000 years before it happens. How is that possible? Well, once you understand, at least in part, agree with this attribute of God, he's omniscient. And you go, I get it. Any God that can be said to know it all must certainly then know the future and can call it into existence.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
In 2009, Nicolas Cage starred in a movie called Knowing. The film explored what someone would do if they knew what the future held, especially if they knew that that future contained disaster and destruction for the entire world. What would you do if you knew the future? How would you use that knowledge? Or what would you do if you knew someone who had that knowledge? Well, you do. And today here on The Connection, Skip Heitzig reminds us that we can all know a God who knows everything about everything. Imagine how you could benefit from such a relationship, or imagine how you could share that good news with other people. Well, one thing you can do to help spread that good news, that we could all know an all-knowing God, is by supporting the Global Connectors. Not only will you help this ministry bless people all around the world, but you'll also get a free resource each month you're a member. Find out how you can sign up for the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. It's been said that knowledge is power, and knowing something that others don't certainly gives you an advantage. Well, considering God knows everything, it's no wonder he's so powerful. But fortunately, he loves us enough to share with us what he knows as we get to know him. Stay with us to learn more.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Psalm 139, and as you find your place, we'll join Skip Heitzig for today's program.
Let's get a little more in depth. In verse 2, David further personalizes it, and this is God's knowledge studied. Now, something I didn't point out yet, in the pronouns that he uses to speak about God, you have searched me, you know my sitting down and my rising up, you understand. In the Hebrew grammar, it's put in the emphatic position, as if David is saying, this is an attribute nobody else has. It is unique to you. Only you have all this knowledge. Now, when I was a kid, I swore my mom had all this knowledge, or that God had been talking to my mom about me, because I couldn't believe how much she knew about me. I tried to hide stuff from her. She heard me whisper. She knew where I was when I thought she didn't. That's just an insightful mother. That's different from this. David realizes God uniquely has omniscience. Notice, you know my sitting down and my rising up. God is aware of the slightest movement you make. And he's interested in the slightest movements you make. That might come as a surprise to you. On one hand, yes, you believe God knows that, but you think, well, does God really care? Okay, now watch this. Look at verse 17. How precious, notice that, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, They would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Have you ever had somebody say to you, maybe at church this morning, hey, good to see you. I've been thinking about you a lot lately. God would say that to you this morning. I've been thinking about you a lot. How precious are your thoughts? There are 6.7 billion people right now living on our earth. God is aware of every one of their movements, motions, time they get up, time they sit down or lay down to rest, and he's interested in each one. Well, let's put it personally. God saw you yesterday when you were worshiping him all alone in that room or in your car. God heard those encouraging words you gave to that worker or family member. Or think of it this way. God saw you yell at your wife this morning. God heard what you said at the gym to that guy or gal this week. Everything. You hide nothing from him. Proverbs 5, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. I heard about a preacher who had a CB radio, loved this thing, loved to listen to the truckers as they went through town. And a trucker was going through town trying to get a hold of a prostitute in that town that he knew about and was unsuccessful. And the trucker said, well, I'm sorry you couldn't hear me. I'll see you next time I come through. Well, the preacher got on the radio and said, she may not have heard you, but God did. There was a long silence. Finally, the truck driver said, man, I knew this CB radio had good range, but I didn't know it was that good. As if it beamed all the way to heaven. Doesn't need to. God was there. Preacher was right. God heard it all. David continues here, studying God's omniscience. You understand my thoughts afar off. Or better translated, God, you know what I think before I even think it. Before those electrical and chemical signals were transmitted at the synapse of the neuron, you knew it. Ever had a weird thought come into your mind? Where'd that thought come from? God knows. He's probably the only one that does. What this means to us is this. God knows what you really feel. Not just what you say. God knows what you really feel. God knows what you really believe about him, what your real worldview is. God knows where you stand, what your real opinions are. Now look at verse 3, all the way through verse 5. You comprehend my path and my lying down. These are opposites in Hebrew. One is a place you walk on, other is a place you lay down. These opposites are described. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You've hedged me behind and before. Again, two opposites are described. And you have laid your hand on me. Now, the idea of this construction in verses 3 through 5 expresses completeness, and it could be translated at all times or in every moment. God's knowledge of me personally is not just every movement, not just every motive, but at all times of the day, 24/7. He doesn't take a nap. He doesn't take a vacation. He's never caught unaware. He knows it at all times. So God knows the past and the present, but he also knows the future. And this is important because it's the basis of all predictive prophecy. You know, sometimes we go through the Bible and go, I'm amazed. There's so many prophecies given where God, through a prophet, predicts an event that will happen 100, 200, 1,000 years before it happens. How's that possible? Well, once you understand, at least in part, agree with this attribute of God, he's omniscient. And you go, I get it. Any God that can be said to know it all must certainly then know the future and can call it into existence. And because this is true, God can announce 150 years before the man was even born that Cyrus, by name, written in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 through 3, will come and deliver the Jews after their Babylonian captivity. He wasn't even born for 150 years when that was written. That is why Daniel can predict the succession of world-governing kingdoms from Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, to Rome before it ever happened. That's how Zechariah in chapter 9 can say the Messiah will enter Jerusalem on a donkey. That's why the Bible can announce there's going to be a rapture and a tribulation and a millennial kingdom and a judgment seat of Christ and judgment seat, the great white throne, and the eternal state of the new heaven and a new earth way before it ever happens. God knows the future, simply because God controls the future. So this whole idea that God doesn't know all things is a lie. There's a teaching called open theism or finite theism, that God doesn't know all things that I mentioned. Okay, here's a verse that flies right into the face of that. Listen to this. Ephesians 1:11. God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. There you have two things enmeshed, the sovereignty of God, the omniscience of God, brought together in a nutshell. God knows the future because God controls the future, and everything's done accordingly. Well, I want to end by what I think is the most important part, and that is verse 5 and 6. This is not God's knowledge stated or even studied, but surrendered to. It's the best part. Verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I will tell you that there's a number of commentators and even Bible translators that look at verse 5 and they see it as sort of a nice, sweet, God nestling his children. They picture the idea and even translate it that here we are held by God and God is surrounding us on all sides, nicely nestled. I don't necessarily think that's the meaning. I agree with the Bible knowledge commentary that says these first six verses describe a process. David coming to grips with the God who knows everything about him. And verse 5 would indicate that he admits he has trouble with this doctrine at first. As if to say, well, God, if you know everything, that means I'm hedged in. I'm trapped. I'm a prisoner of fate. You're in charge. You know the future. So I feel sort of like trapped by your sovereign omniscience. Have you ever heard that stated by people? I have. I've heard people say, well, if Jesus said your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him, then why should we ask him? Why should we pray about anything if God already has sovereignty and is omniscient and knows what we need before we ask him? Why bother praying? That's a very dim view of prayer. Prayer is a whole lot more than giving God a wish list. Imagine a parent and a child who had a relationship, something like this. They never saw each other. They never communicated except once a year. The child gave mom and dad a Christmas list. You know, every parent loves when a child just phones home, just calls to talk, just let's have lunch, let's just hang out. How are you doing? There's a relationship there. And so it could be that in verse 5, David is working his way through that, but rather than feeling that he's a prisoner of fate, in verse 6 and in other verses, he's a worshiper of the Father. For he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I'll retranslate that. This is the NSV, the New Skip Version. Ready? Wow! Wow! That's his reaction and response to what he discovers about God. Wow! This is like fuse blowing. If I think about it too long, I'll blow a fuse. It's too high. I cannot attain it. But then look at the end. Look at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. That's a prayer. He's inviting God to know more, even though that's not possible. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, I don't get it. I can't wrap my mind around it. I'll blow a fuse trying to figure this out. So I just surrender to it. Search me, know me, lead me, direct me. That's where we ought to leave off in our dealing with God. I'm going to tell you something. You may want to write it down. I wrote it down just to remember it in summing up this section. This is what it leads me to. Since God's ability transcends my reality, it's best for me to bow at his immensity. Now, let me break that down. God's ability is always greater than your reality. If you think you're going to go to some theological school or school of ministry or get a PhD in something and walk out holding the diploma and say, I know everything there is to know about God, then you're dumber than we thought. It is impossible. You will have to come to a point where you say, I've reached a saturation point. I've reached a limit. I don't completely get it. There's a mystery to our faith that is precious. And what do you do at that point? You leave off. God's ability is greater than my reality, so the best thing is to bow before his immensity. God is always greater than our present knowledge of him. See, if God was small enough for your brain, he wouldn't be big enough for your needs. There's an element that makes God, God. And if you understood all there is about God, you'd be God. And this is one of those attributes that is so God about God. He knows everything. And David says, search me, know me, test me, lead me. It ends in worship. That's where it should end with us. I want to leave you with three things this morning in summing this up. I want you to personalize this. Since God knows everything, God knows the worst about us. Now follow me here, don't lose me. In any human relationship, or most human relationships, there is a fear that two people have in getting to know each other. The fear is that when that person really knows who I really am, they'll reject me. That's why we put on our best face and we act so nice as to win them over. And hopefully after a period of time, that'll overshadow what they'll really find out about me when the skeleton tumbles out of the closet. Well, if you live your relationship like that, you'll never be free to be real. So you'll never know if you're really loved for who you are or not. That's a fear people have. Now listen, God knows the worst about you and loves you anyway. I hope that's as liberating to you as it is to me. It's liberating. Psalm 103, God knows our frame and remembers that we're but dust. What expectations would anybody have from dust? I expect a lot out of this dirt. This is quality dust. God knows you and he knows me. He knows the worst about us because he's all-knowing and he loves you anyway. That's number one. Number two, since God knows everything, God knows the best about us. God knows the best about us. Sometimes you do your best and it goes unnoticed, or you do your best and you fail. And when you fail doing your best, others may see it and they don't get the whole picture. They don't understand the motive and they criticize you and they say this and that about you. God knows the whole truth, knows the best about you. And Peter was content with that because he failed Jesus. And after the resurrection, remember the story, John 21, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Peter goes, yeah. Again, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Uh-huh. Third time, Peter, do you love me? Remember what he said? Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. That's where he left it. You know my heart. You know the best of my heart. 1 John tells us, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. So since God knows everything, he knows the worst about you, loves you anyway. God knows the best about you, knows what's really deep inside your heart. Here's the third and final thing. To me, this is the best. Since God knows everything, he knows what he's going to make you into. You're not done yet. You're still in the oven. You're still in process. God sees your imperfections, but he also sees the finished product. The Bible uses a beautiful word for this, for we are his workmanship. You're a work of art. All you see is the blob on the canvas. The artist sees the finished work. And that's where he's taking you. This is probably no scene in no better place than in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Now, you all know Romans 8, 28, right? Show of hands. Romans 8, 28. Ever heard that verse? Memorized that verse? God works all things together, etc. It's unfortunate that we have memorized that to the exclusion of the very next verse. Because listen to this truth. Verse 29 of Romans 8. For those that God foreknew or knew about in advance, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Now let me tell you something. You're not yet glorified. Neither am I. Ask my wife. But God is so sure that one day I will be glorified that he writes about it like it's a done deal. Because he knows everything, and knowing everything, he knows the worst about me, the best about me, and he knows where he's going to take me. I love that. There's a bumper sticker. I'm going to say it, and you'll finish it. It says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. That doesn't mean you put that on your car and go 90 miles an hour. But it is true. We're in process. God knows where he's taking us. So, Father, we bow before your immensity because your ability is so much greater than our reality. We echo what Paul said. Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Lord, it is true, but we don't completely understand how it is you can be so loving and compassionate with a plan of saving us as imperfect as we are and knowing what you know all about us. But we just say, wow, search us, know us, test us, and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Considering how often we don't know where we're going, isn't it nice to know there's a God who knows everything, including where to take us? You don't need to have any fear of an uncertain future because the God who knows everything about you and knows the plans he has for you. The question is, are you willing to follow those plans? So we're going to have to wrap things up for today. But first, here's all the info on how you can get some great insights into the ever-nearing end of history.
Where is the center of the earth? Well, if you're speaking scientifically, it's deep within our globe beneath at least three other layers. However, historically speaking, the center of the earth is none other than Israel, and more specifically, Jerusalem. Why is that? What is it about this one small plot of land that makes it the center of the world's attention? Find out in Epicenter, featuring Skip Heitzig and Joel Rosenberg, available this month from The Connection. This documentary will explain why the trends and currents of history all center on Israel. Plus, when you order, we'll also send you Joel Rosenberg's book, Inside the Revolution, A Peek Inside Radical Islam. Get this month's final days package from The Connection for just $30. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Get both resources for just $30. Call 1-800-922-1888.
And also keep in mind that you can get a copy of today's teaching on CD for just $6, including shipping, when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll also send you a free bonus gift from Skip. It's a teaching on CD about the importance of moms, and it's yours for free when you contact us and let us know it's the first time you're doing so. Again, all you need to do is call 1-800-922-1888. 972-1888 and tell us this is the first time you've ever called us. We'd be happy to send you that free teaching on CD from Pastor Skip. You can also write us at The Connection, and that's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Join us again next time here on The Connection for an intriguing message Skip is entitled, God is Nowhere, or is it God is Now Here? Tune in to find out. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.